Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Kerr. I was thinking just a few minutes ago, I wanted to make sure that I publicly thank the people at BBS Radio for the service that they are providing to all of us out here, because I don't think people realize what kind of a production it is to put on a radio program, and especially as many shows as they're doing and the work that they're doing. I just want to say everybody should call them and thank them, because it's a lot of work. I mean, of course, yes, we're sitting around talking and we're having a good time, but you just have no idea the work that goes beyond behind the scenes on this kind of thing. So just publicly wanted to thank them today. My guest today is one of my favorite people in the world, and she's got a topic that I just don't hear anybody else out here talking about. My guest is Jane Lee, and she's going to be talking to us today about feng shui, but not just any feng shui for your horse. This is something that I found to be absolutely fascinating. I've had the opportunity to do some energy work with horses in the past, and they're just really magnificent and incredible beings, and Jane Lee is totally tuned in to their energy. So we're going to talk to her in just a minute. If you would like to visit the show website, you can see us online at beyondrealityshow.com. We're going to be making some updates to the site very, very soon, and lots of new and exciting guests coming your way in the upcoming weeks. And you can visit my site personally at www.galactichealing.org for information about my books, my sessions, and to shop online for gems and minerals. So my friend Jane Lee, I've known her for a few years, met her in Seattle a few years ago, and we've just been the best of friends, and I'm just so, so thrilled to welcome you to the show today, Jane Lee. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to start off by, because I know you're like the biggest horse fan in the world, and I know there's a lot of people out here who love horses. So how have you always been interested in horses? Tell us how it began.
Well, since I was probably 2 or 3 years old, I was enamored with horses, and my first drawing at age 4 was of a horse. I grew up in Southern California, and I didn't have any opportunities to be around horses, but when I'd see them on TV or pictures of them, I would just go absolutely bananas and wanted a horse so badly. My grandmother, who I lived with and was mostly raised by, not too far from her home, were pony rides, and I lived to go to those pony rides that were probably every 2 to 3 weeks. A man would come in and they'd, with some ponies, just, I don't know, off a little dirt road and give children pony rides. And so that's where I got my first exposure to horses. And that's pretty much what got it started. And then, of course, you know, my favorite shows on TV were Mr. Ed the Talking Horse. I'm really dating myself now.
No, I watch it too. I mean, so.
And Fury, anything that had involved a horse, Zorro. I mean, I would just go absolutely nuts. So horses were my first love. My first drawing at 4 was of a horse.
Do you feel that that's like a spiritual connection from maybe a past life, or do you think it's more than that?
Actually, I have looked at that, and I do think that in this case that it is, because I've had the feeling for a very long time that the horse that I had most recently, who passed away a year ago, was actually with me in many lifetimes, maybe not always as a horse, but this lifetime definitely as a horse.
Tell us about your horse prince, because I know that his energy has been really influential in your life.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And as I mentioned, he passed a year ago, April, but his energy is still very much with me, and I feel his presence. And he was a very interesting horse. I actually saw him coming to me before he ever showed up. I went to a tack shop, and this was when I was 45. And I bought a halter, and the lady at the tack shop said, "Well, what kind of horse do you have, and what size is his head?" And I said, "Well, I don't have the horse yet." And she goes, "Oh." And I said, "But I know if I buy this halter, the horse is going to show up." And from the time I was very small, I saw this black horse with a white diamond on his forehead that someday I would have. And that's exactly what showed up in Prince. And even before I met him and he came into my life, I saw him in my mind's eye. And I told my husband, I said, "You know, this horse is coming, and he's going to either have the name of Prince or the name Starfire." And but as it turned out, it was Prince. And it was interesting how that all transpired and how I ended up having him. It was an ad in the paper I saw, which I never hardly ever read the paper except for the Lost and Found and Horses and Tack. And it was just an ad I saw that I happened to call on. And the 6 years that I had him were so magical that it has inspired me to write a book that will be forthcoming probably within the next 6 to 8 months, and I'm calling it the Prince Chronicles.
I've heard some of this, and I was wondering if you could read us a passage from the Prince Chronicles, because I love it.
Sure. I'll just like read a little blurb that is actually the prologue. Prince, as well as anybody who's listening in that has a horse, knows how powerful their intuition is and the connection. Many times we feel a closer connection to these horses than we do with people, even though they don't speak. I mean,
right.
They speak, but maybe it's not audible that we hear. We can hear it in our minds, but so this is what I wrote that will be in the beginning of the book, because this is what Prince taught me in the 6 years I had him. So here is the prologue.
Oh, good.
Far beyond the call of the wild is the call of the soul. It may appear as if the call is resounding from a place outside of yourself, but as you continue to be quiet, allowing the stillness to prevail within your heart, the awareness comes. The call is yourself, the inner being that you lost track of, and you realize you will never be alone again.
Wow, that just blows my mind. That's really profound. So let's talk about horses as symbols of wealth. You've been telling me that a horse is, it's not just an animal, it's an energy, and that horses bring wealth.
Yes. Oh, thanks for asking that question. Well, for maybe some horse owners who are listening in today, they might be kind of chuckling and saying, "Well, yeah, you don't pay my hay bill." and I have a $7,000 veterinarian bill. What the heck are you talking about? Horses have been symbols of wealth for thousands of years. And what's interesting about this is, And if we're not experiencing that, I mean, currently I don't own a horse, but if there's people listening in who do own horses, my intention in bringing about with this information that I've been working on and want to bring to thousands of people is that, for example, here's some examples. The Pony Express. I mean, horses were in charge of bringing the mail to people for a very, very long time before there were cars.
Right.
Today, Wells Fargo Bank, their symbol is our horses pulling a stagecoach, which was the bank, because horses were used to transport money to different places. And even if you look at the Roman Empire, I mean, the horses in the chariots, these beautiful chariots, horses carried people into battle. I mean, their job over centuries has been huge. And they were representative of wealth and have been for thousands of years, and they still are present day for many people. And here's an example. Recently, here in Washington, we have this beautiful horse park called Bridle Trails. It's 480 acres. It's a magical place where I used to ride my horse all the time. And we have a foundation called the Bridle Trails Park Foundation that two good friends of mine started, because when they did budget cuts a few years ago, the first thing that the governor wanted to do was close parks. And because Bridle Trails started with a B, well, that was like almost first on the list of parks to close. So a couple of my friends and some other people got together and decided we're going to start a park foundation to raise money to keep this park open, because it's one of its kind. There's horse parks, I think, in New York, too, and other places, but this is really a one-of-a-kind park. And so we have an annual fundraiser that we refer to as the Party in the Park, and I arrange the children's activities there. And I was telling people there, I've been telling people for a long time, that horses bring wealth. If we look at them as energetic beings and what they represent, then we can have a shift in our consciousness to where these animals, these creatures, which are in my mind much more than animals, have an energy to bring wealth to us if we hold them in that esteem. So after the Party in the Park was over this year, it was just last month, people were saying, oh my God, Jane Lee, these long lines were down here at the pony rides, and this area seems to be the big attraction. And I was like, well, yes, because horses bring wealth. Horses are the draw. That's what this is all about. And what ended up happening after the party was over and we were putting things away and cleaning up, a woman rode up on a white horse and handed us a check for $3,000. Within 45 minutes of me telling those people, well, horses bring wealth, because I'm still dealing with this with people who haven't quite seen that yet, and that's fine, because it takes a shift in our consciousness to see what they really are and what they really represent.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of different information out about animal totems, but I don't know that people really, you know, consciously view the horse as a symbol of wealth. I mean, we don't think about it. The horse has been carrying mankind since the beginning of time.
Yes.
Through
yes.
everything, every yes. aspect of life. And so certainly it's got to be a symbol of wealth and prosperity and
yes.
abundance and having plenty and things like that.
Yes.
I mean, it would just make sense. I don't know.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm talking to Jane Lee about the beautiful energy of our horse friends and how we can apply feng shui to horses to make them happier and healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jane Lee, I know that you've been working with feng shui and helping people get into their personal space, setting intention to make their space more harmonious and a better place to be for years now. How did you shift that into working with horses, and what exactly is feng shui for horses?
That's a really good question. Thank you for asking.
That's about
that.
10 questions.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when I first started, when I first had an interest in feng shui and I first started receiving training and going to classes on feng shui, my intention from the very beginning was feng shui for horses and to bring awareness to people of the environment their horses are in. And for people who may be listening in, I don't think this will sound too weird to say that the door opens inward. In other words, our outward world reflects what's going on inside of us. And it's no different for horses. Our horses, actually, a lot of times, what goes on with them is a direct mirror of what's going on with us. So people would kind of laugh sometimes and say, well, feng shui for horses, what's that about? I mean, does this mean I'm supposed to set up a wealth corner in my horse's barn? Obviously, no. And the answer would be no. I mean, I guess people could do that. But my intention with feng shui for horses is to create environments where the horse can actually thrive, and where people would actually feel comfortable going out in their barn and saying to their horse, okay, what is this environment, how is this environment serving you? Where you would actually stand in your barn and pretend you were your horse and look through your horse's eyes and ask the question, if I could improve this environment, what would I do? What changes would I make to make me happier? And I know that sounds kind of strange, but people who have children do it with their children. You know, it's like sometimes in order to shift things, you have to step out of your shoes and into that other person's shoes. Kind of like that old saying where about the Indian, and don't judge me until you've walked in my moccasins.
Right.
It's the same thing with our horses. If we tune into them and start asking those questions and listening, and horses a lot of times speak to us in pictures, and they will tell us, something will come to our mind about a question we may ask, and in a very clear picture will come into our mind where the horse is actually communicating to us what he or she wants to make their living environment better. A lot of times we think, well, it's just a horse, or it's just a dog, or it's just a cat. What does that matter? Well, it matters hugely because everything is energy, which, of course, that's nothing new. I mean, Einstein talked about that a long, very long time ago. Everything is energy, and probably a good portion of the people that listen to this show realize everything is energy, and everything gives off something.
Right. You know, there's been a lot of talk in the media about animal communication in general, but I mean, you always hear people making fun of it. I mean, I don't understand why people don't realize that you can talk to animals just like
yes.
you can talk to another human being.
Exactly. That's such a great point, because it's just how we've been brought up. If we were brought up to if we had, like, for example, parents who said, well, like, if we happened to grow up with a dog or a cat, and our parents said to us, well, this is how you talk to your dog and cat, and ask them a question and then listen. Be in silence and listen and see what information comes. I mean, this is what psychics do. This is what intuitives do. They just ask the questions and then they listen.
This is part of the problem, in my opinion, is that people are not... they either don't listen to themselves, or when they get something, they just say, well, that can't be real, or, you know, I must be making that up. And, you know, this is something I talk about with people all the time when I'm doing a lecture. I mean, people need to trust their intuition, but we just don't.
Yeah.
So how would you recommend people trust that, you know, I'm asking my horse, what can I do for you, and something's coming to my mind. How can you suggest that we might be more open to what we receive in that way?
Oh, that's great. That's a great question. Well, it's with everything, like with everything in life, it takes practice. So when something comes in, like say if you ask a specific question of your horse, it's very, very important to pay attention to the images that come. And sometimes they might not come right on the heels of the question. Sometimes you might ask a question, like for myself, I like to ask questions right before I go to sleep at night. And I ask a specific question, and then I ask for a specific answer to be there upon waking up. And it's just interesting how that information will just usually be there as soon as I pop my eyes open in the morning. And then I just go with that. And then what happens is, as we do that, then we get validation. Like I was talking to someone on the phone this morning, and I was sharing with them an image that came to me. Then later on this afternoon, I was calling in to check my messages, and this person said to me, oh, my God, I opened up my email, and here was this image and that you had just told me this morning. And so that validated to me the information that I was getting. And
exactly.
Yeah, and that, and then it's like then once that starts happening and you get that validation, then it builds the confidence. And so it's just a matter of asking the questions, listening, acting on the information you receive, and then doing it over and over and over and practicing, and then pretty soon you get really, really good at it. It's like people say to me all the time, well, how do you know this? How do you get this information? And I said, you know, I'd love to just sit here and say, well, I'm this special person with all these special gifts, but the truth is all of us are intuitive. All of us can know pretty much anything we want to know about any given subject if we're just willing to be silent long enough and listen.
Amen, sister.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. If you'd like to call in today to talk about your horse, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-876-5227 on BBS Radio. You brought up a really good point. I mean, a lot of the case studies in my book, Beyond Reality, are stories about where people got confirmation on really intuitive things that they were going through. But the problem is a lot of times we're just not going to get that confirmation, and I think we have to have faith to step forward in it anyway and just own our power and just know that we know and just go with it.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And then hope for validation every now and then. It's almost like someone, to me it's like, yay, a little bonus, you know, but we have to still be willing to do it whether validation is there or not.
Well, and that's really great that you said that and brought that up, because that's absolutely true. And that's what comes as we become self-actualized and realize that it's not up to anyone else, it's up to us. And to be able to create an environment where your horse can thrive and to be able to ask the questions of your horse, well, like for example, you might want to ask the questions, well, is the paddock or the barn or the pasture where my horse is residing at this present time, is this conducive for his well-being? Are there hazards? Are there noxious weeds? Are there things that are toxic to my animal? Because a lot of times, especially if we have our horse stabled somewhere, we're not in control of those things.
Right.
And other people are taking care of our horse, and this is where the power of intention comes in. Because when we see and we know and we have the intention that whoever happens to be handling our horse is has our horse's best interest in mind, if we shift within ourselves, because sometimes people who are taking care of our horses maybe are not the kind of people we would want taking care of our horses, or maybe they can tend to be a really extremely negative person. If we have a shift in consciousness within ourselves and see that person interacting with our horse in a positive light, then over time that will shift.
Yes, it's like healing the part of you that is someone else.
Exactly.
By realizing that you are them.
Yes.
I just got a really good email on that this week. That was talking about, it's about the principles of the Hawaiian Ho'oponopono, where you just forgive and bless everybody. And
exactly.
It was about, did you get this? I don't know. A lot of people got this week. Some of you out there may know what I'm talking about. It was about a man who worked in a ward for the criminally insane, and people were like shackled and, you know, just really hazardous conditions. And so he started just blessing all of them by saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then, you know, some of them didn't have to be constrained anymore, and their behavior got better and stuff like that, because he realized that they are him, that everything in our world is only a reflection of ourselves.
That's exactly right.
That's what we all talk about here on BBS Radio, is all of this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Now, here's something I want to talk about. Okay, most of my energy work that I've been doing through the years has been with people, but occasionally I do get called out to work with animals. And for some reason, the most animals that I've worked with, like if I was going to rank them, is horses first, and then dogs, and then an occasional cat. Cats, you know, they just do what they want. They're difficult, but I have them. That's why I know. But, you know, these horse owners, I think, I don't know what it is, but they're very, I guess it's just the amount of energy. If we talk about, like, financial matters being just energy, the amount of energy, let's say, that you put into having a horse, it just seems that these are some of the most conscientious pet owners probably on the planet, or at least the ones that I've run into. When their horse is not happy, they are keenly aware of it, and they will do anything they can to try to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what I found is, it seems like common sense. Like one woman, I live in Texas, so there's a lot of ranches out here, and there was a woman down the road who called me to come talk to her horse. So I went out there, and, you know, it's the same thing, I'm talking to him. First, you're thinking, you know, am I making this up? But, you know, the horse starts telling me, well, I'm really angry, and, you know, I didn't know any of the circumstances, but when I came back and said, well, he says he's angry at you because you've been moving him around, and she was like, well, that's exactly right, because she's taken him out to some breeding place. And, I mean, you know, all you horse people, you know what I'm talking about. She took him to be bred, and he was gone for a month, and he was real angry at her. And so he just wanted her to apologize and all this kind of stuff. And I remember this was several years ago. I remember thinking, man, I must be crazy, but this is what the horse is telling me, you know.
Yes.
But I think that you're right about that, that it's just a matter of quieting down. But isn't some of this stuff, shouldn't this just be common sense to the pet owner, that your horse is angry or your horse is not happy? Or, I mean, don't we think this is common sense? And if so, why don't people get it? Are we just not, not paying attention?
Well, it's a lot of things. But see, like, this is a really good point, and I'm so glad that you said this, because, see, there's a lot of horses who are, say, for example, doing dressage, that don't want to be a dressage horse. It's really important to ask your horse, well, what do you want to do?
What's dressage?
Well, dressage is it's beautiful, actually, to watch. And it's a beautiful way of riding, and where the attire is just beautiful and the movements are beautiful and it's majestic. But it's also very intense, and the energy of that is very intense, both for the horse and the rider to perform. Anybody who, I'm sure if there's horse people listening in, they obviously would know what dressage is, just like people who have cutting horses, and how intense that can be. Well, horses, very much like people, have different likes and dislikes. And so if a horse is being forced to do something like dressage when the horse really wants to be a trail horse, like my horse Prince, for example, he would rather be with children than he would be with other horses and other adults. His love and his passion was children. And when he had children on his back and he was giving children rides, he was in horse heaven. And it was so obvious. And it was so precious to watch that interaction between him and the children. Well, it's really important, especially for people who are getting a horse, to ask their horse what the horse wants to do. Some horses just want to be trail horses. And then another example is, I had a good friend who was leasing a horse. She wasn't in a position to own her own horse. And every horse she leased would end up having a physical problem, or the horse would end up becoming lame. Every single horse that she leased ended up having a problem. And so she called me up one day and asked me, well, you know, what's going on here? And because she was asking, I said, well, you know, you're not a happy person. And these horses are developing these ailments because they don't want that energy on their back. So it's really, really important not only to know what your horse wants to do, because the horse can develop ailments because it doesn't want to do maybe what you want him to do or her to do. And maybe you have an agenda for the horse, but the horse has a different agenda.
Right.
Does that
make
sense?
Wow, that's huge. Yeah.
It is huge.
You're making me think about a friend of mine who has a horse. That horse has always got something wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to that horse before, too. I remember, speaking of, like, things in the barn, I remember a couple of these horses responded well to having amethysts and rose quartz in their barn.
Yes.
But the horse still continues to have situations with him, and I'm wondering, because, I mean, you know how horses are bred to be thoroughbreds or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're expected to perform in certain capacities, mm-hmm. but, I mean, this horse is, like, 12 years old. Maybe he's just tired or something.
Well, and that very well could be.
You know, he's been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he doesn't want to do it anymore. Thank you.
Yeah, and now it's time I want to go on and do something else. I mean, they're really no different from ourselves.
Right.
And that's the thing, when we can start viewing horses and see the whole premise behind feng shui, getting back to where feng shui fits
right.
into all this, is that the whole premise of feng shui is water energy goes as water flows. So there needs to be a flow there. And when we're at peace with who we are and what we're doing, then energy can flow freely without blockages. But if we're constantly doing things that we don't want to be doing, then that produces a block in our energetic field. It's no different for a horse than it is for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. I'm talking to Jane Lee about feng shui for horses. So you had mentioned to me when we were talking about this, like, people sometimes aren't even aware if there's a draft in the barn. I mean, that could be really detrimental.
Yes, exactly.
How can they rememedy that if they've got drafty barns?
Yeah, that's a really great question, too, is that obviously people live in a lot of different places and environments. And it's really important in the environment the horse lives in, especially in the barn, is, well, what direction does the door, the opening face, and can your horse be out of the elements and feel safe? Like, for example, when I first got my horse Prince, he was in this little barn here in Bridle Trails, and I have to add that Prince was my first horse. I was 45 when I got him, and I used to wonder why, when I'd show up to take care of him, he was never in his barn. He'd only go in the barn to eat. That was the only time he would be in that barn. It could be snowing. It could be freezing cold. There could be, you know, torrential downpours, and he would not be in the barn. And I used to think, why doesn't he go in his barn? Well, so I started asking questions. Well, I realized it's because how the direction the door faced, which was the opening, was faced south. Well, here in Washington, the wind would just blow in, and it would blow up the shavings, and he didn't feel safe in that environment. So for him, he went behind the barn, and he would stand behind the barn in the storm or snow, but he wouldn't go in the barn because he didn't feel safe in there.
Wow.
And it's real important. Well, we ended up moving him to a different place that was just a couple of blocks away, and it just did my heart so much good to see when we moved him, the first thing he did was go up and go inside this barn, because the barn at the new place faced the same direction as the old place. It's just that it was back up off the street further and away from the elements, and it had more of an angle to it. So he could go in there, and because it was deep and he could go in and then go off to the left and be out of the elements, he felt safe. And like with ourselves, okay, it's hugely important for us to feel safe in our own home. It's no different from our horse, with our horses.
Exactly. You need to feel like it's your little cave.
Exactly.
Kind of, where you can go retreat.
Exactly. That's right. So the elements are real important. If you're living in a place where, you know, there's lots of wind, and, of course, some people would say, well, yeah, but what about horses in the wild? Well, horses in the wild, that's what they're acclimated to. So it's not a big deal. But horses who are domesticated, it is a big deal.
Right. Do they ever need you to talk to them about what you're feeding them?
Yes.
Are there different, I mean, I don't know as much about horses, obviously, I don't know that much, but are there, like, different qualities of hay or different kinds of feed, like?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Are they as finicky as my cat or not? Well, they can't possibly be any more than that, I mean, oh my gosh.
Well, some horses can be, and the thing to remember, I think, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but it was really funny. I went to see one of my customers, and she showed me an article in People magazine. I loved this. There might be some people that call in that are like, oh, my God, you know, this is just too out there. But it was an article that made People magazine about a horse. It was in one of the eastern states. I don't remember the state, but where the people actually had their horse, their horse lived in their house with them. And
no.
The horse was, you know, potty trained, and they'd let him out to go to the bathroom. And it was, I thought it was adorable. They were all eating dinner at their dining room table, and their horse was standing there eating spaghetti.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's like, that could really push the envelope for some people. And then it showed a picture of the husband who was taking a bath in one of those freestanding clawfoot bathtubs, and the horse was just kind of standing over him, watching him take his bath. It was actually adorable, and they had this big article in People magazine about this horse. It was a 13-year-old quarter horse who actually lived in the house with his family.
He must have really good karma. That's all I can say.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was on a call yesterday. I'll get back to discuss the food thing, but I actually talked to, I was on a conference call yesterday with a very good friend of mine who does clicker training with horses out of New York. She's awesome in what she does, and she said that she has some clients there in New York and some other places that have actually taught their horses to paint. And so
wow.
She was asking if, she says, well, they, one of the questions they asked me yesterday was, well, so do you think the horse would like to have some of their own artwork hung up in their barn? And I said, absolutely.
Wow, that's cool.
It's very cool.
So do they do oil paintings?
Well, I didn't get into specifics yesterday just because, you know, it was a conference call. But getting back to the question, it's like just kind of like with dogs as well as with if you give your horse just the same thing all the time, it gets boring after a while.
Right.
And I realize horses' digestive systems are not the same as people, but they do like things outside of just their normal everyday diet. And unless you're dealing with an issue of laminitis and you don't want your horse to have too much sugar to throw their hormones off or whatever, like, for example, when my horse turned 27, I had a birthday party for him, and we invited his horsey friends as well as his people friends. And I ordered this huge carrot cake. And so all of the horses came, his friends came, and we had this big birthday party, and the horses all had carrot cake.
That's so cute. So you're one of those people.
Yes, I am definitely one of those people that is, you know, that loves to celebrate, but horses do too. And because everything is energy, and I have photos from this birthday party, and it was so awesome to see these horses were so happy. They were like, wow, somebody's having a party for me, and I'm eating carrot cake, and it was such a fun time.
So cute.
Well, it is, and like one of the things that my horse liked when he was here was he loved roses, and the whole front of his pasture was lined with beautiful pink roses, and what I would do is clip the roses when they were finished blooming and the petals would start to fall off. I'd go down the row and I'd clip them and put them in a bucket. And that was like his afternoon delicacy snack, was eating rose petals. And,
wow.
And other times I would give him a bucket of dandelions, which are really good for a horse's liver and detoxifying a liver.
Oh, yeah. Even people use it.
Exactly.
Wow.
I know.
That's so sweet. It's kind of like just remembering that, you know, you really do have a love affair with your animal.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you want to treat your animal the way you want to be treated.
That's exactly right. And when we view these creatures as part of ourselves, then it's so much easier to tune in because we're not looking at them as a separate entity. When we realize that we're connected to everything and everything is connected to us, then the separation part disappears, and then it's just so easy for information to come through, and then the knowingness, it makes it easier for the knowingness to just be there as well. So you could walk out tomorrow morning and have a whole new set of a whole new view of how your horse is living and where he's living. You could walk into his barn in the morning and or her barn and say, "Wow, I never noticed that particular thing before." And light is very important too for horses. And one thing we deal with a lot in the Pacific Northwest is, and it seems to be becoming more and more of an issue, is a condition called laminitis with the horse's feet. Another name for it is foundering. And there's a lot of opinions out there about what causes it. But I was talking to one of the veterinarians that I had for my horse, and we were talking about full spectrum lighting and how that affects the hormone of the horse. And it's laminitis is more common a lot of times in older horses, although there's a lot of younger horses that are getting it.
What is laminitis now, for those who don't know horses?
They call it laminitis because of the lamina, the underneath side of the horse's foot. What happens in laminitis is the lamina heats up to such an intense degree, and if it's not treated, if it's not caught early enough and treated early enough, what happens is the coffin bone, which is the main bone inside the hoof wall, actually rotates and can actually come through the lamina at the bottom of the horse's foot, in which case the horse would have to be put down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very severe. And my horse Prince actually came down with that at one point in time. But because I saw the signs early on and got it treated early on, then he had a little bit of rotation of his coffin bone, but within a couple of months he was rideable again. And just because of my intention and seeing him well again and seeing his hoof and that leg completely well, that actually happened. And my vet told me, he said, and he was an older vet, he's wonderful, he said, "In all my years of treating horses, I've never seen a horse come back like this from this condition, ever."
This is so interesting that you bring this up, because, you were saying there could be a potential connection with light or
mm-hmm.
lack of light with it.
Yes.
But don't you think it could also just be emotional? You were willing to love your horse back to health, and
absolutely.
Maybe don't you think they get lonely in the barn?
Yes,
I think they do. And maybe that would cause different ailments if they're lonely, or because they have emotions too. It's got to be the same thing as what happens with people, I would think.
Well, and that's true. And one of the things that I think that triggered this with my horse was he had a buddy that. Around the corner from where he lived, and this woman who owned this other horse, we would ride together almost every single day. And this other smaller horse was my horse's buddy. And then the woman moved away and moved the horse away. And I really think he was grieving for that other, for his buddy. And a lot of times a horse who is in grief or feeling lonely is more susceptible to disease, just the same as it is with people. I didn't catch that early on enough to realize that that's what was happening. Uh-huh. I realized it after the fact, but still, because of my intention and my love for this horse, along with a lot of other people's intention who were helping, including his vet, he was able to be restored to full health.
That is really profound. I mean, because even I have these two cats, and my one little cat likes to stay inside, and the other cat likes to go outside. And the one little cat will sit by the window, and she'll just be like, "Woo!" You know, she'll just cry because she's like, "Don't you know my sister's outside?" I mean, you know, I don't know why we don't realize. I mean, they have emotions and feelings like we do.
Yes.
And I think we just need to pay more attention to that. I mean, and surely, yes, that's got to cause illness or health or anything, you know.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I like to, like, and even, you know, the whole life expectancy. I mean, I just expect that my cats are going to live to be 20 years old, and so I don't think about anything else. And there's got to be all of that playing into this if we really are the creators of our destiny and the way we affect our little creatures. I think we just need to become more conscious of that.
Oh, it that's absolutely true. I mean, I cannot even say enough about that. I mean, right now I have, personally, I have no animals in my life at this time that are living with me, but I get to interact with a lot of other people's animals. And sometimes when we own an animal ourselves, it's kind of like being in our own skin a lot of times. We don't see things, and sometimes it helps to have somebody come from the outside and look in, because they don't have the attachment that we have. Or a lot of times we have the blinders on because we're used to, you know, we interact with these people day in and day out, and so we're not really paying attention the way we could be. And so that's where I come in a lot of times, and I think that's why people end up calling psychics or calling whoever it is to get outside help. But whenever we do that, it's real important that when we're asking for somebody outside of ourselves for assistance, that the person we're asking still directs it back to us, because ultimately we do have the answers, and we do have the answers for what is going to be in the best interest of our animal. And sometimes it just takes talking to someone else or having someone come in and say, well, and see things just with a different, or from a different perspective. And then we have to be willing to incorporate that into to listen. And most people out there that own animals love them very, very much and want nothing but the best for them. I mean, that's my experience.
I think you bring up a good point, though. I mean, I've been hearing for years that, you know, your animal is you, period. I mean, even people who are not as maybe open-minded as we are, I've always said that your animal is a reflection of you. And so, as we all know, sometimes it is a little bit difficult to take a look at ourselves, and we do need the help of an expert. And so, speaking of getting help from an expert, if you would like to talk to Jane Lee about your horse or another animal, you can give her a call at 425-822-4786, and she will give you a wonderful consultation. I know she's helped me many times with many, many different types of intuitive things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So anyway, I just thank you so much for being on the show today. I think it's been very enlightening, and I hope everyone out there just really thinks about their pet and loves their pet this week. Let's all love our pet a little bit more this week and just realize what a gift they are in our life. And listen, and just listen to them. And if not, call Jane Lee at 425-822-4786 and let her listen for you.
You've been listening
to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. Join me next week for another exciting edition of the show. You can visit me online at galactichealing.org, or you can send me an email at drshelley@galactichealing.org. Jane Lee, thank you so much for being here. And many, many, many blessings, my friend.
Thank you very much for inviting me to the show today. It was my pleasure and my honor.
Well, thanks. Many blessings, my friend.
You too.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.